This is the Walk Magazine Podcast, Episode 9.
Walk with me. Would you walk with me? And if you walk with me, I'll walk with you for eternity.
My name is Cindy Lehman, the former editor and publisher of Walk Magazine and the host of the Walk Podcast. A couple of months ago, I attended a self-defense clinic presented by Todd Williams of Run Safer. Todd did a great job of teaching walkers and runners some basic moves to protect ourselves and to escape from potential attackers. With the recent increase in attacks of women on bike trails in my area, the clinic was presented at the perfect time. And with the days being shorter, we all should be a little bit more careful training in the dark. Though his Run Safer clinic is pretty visual, I think you'll still get some good information from my conversation with Todd. I just want to let you know that this episode is a little bit shorter than what I've done in the past. With some input from some of my friends who've listened to the podcast, I thought I would experiment making one a little bit shorter and see what you guys think. So be sure to give me some feedback on what you think about this episode. And with that, here's my conversation with Todd Williams.
Walk with me. Would you walk with me? And if you walk with me, I'll walk with you for eternity.
Hi, Todd. Thank you for joining me today for the Walk Magazine podcast. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
Where are you today?
Just flew into the Boston area. I'll be doing a couple workshops, one in Foxborough and then a couple workshops down in the Boston area at the Boston Running Company.
And you help people keep safe when they're out doing their long mileage or actually doing any mileage. How did you get started doing this?
Well, yeah, the name of the company is Run Safer. It really come from the passion that I have for both self-defense and running and staying active. So my background in the fitness industry or running industry, I started, you know, over 30 years ago, and then I was fortunate to work really hard and make a couple Olympic teams, hit 10,000 meters and ran in Barcelona and Atlanta. And then when I finished up my running career on the professional side in 2003, I knew I wanted to choose something that was really challenging. And I chose Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu as a hobby at the time, which is a, you know, self-defense-based martial art. But the more I got into the martial art, and I was also a running specialty rep, so I would go into these stores down in Florida, and, you know, I'd talk to customers, I'd talk to store owners, and, you know, they'd say, what else are you doing besides running? And I said, well, I'm in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. It's a safety and self-defense art. And then, you know, that's when the whole idea started to go in my head. Like, you know, I could keep runners, joggers, and walkers safer when they're out on their run or when they're out doing their activity, you know, because they do find themselves out there alone. So that was kind of the birth behind Run Safer a couple years ago. And, you know, from that point, January of 2013 until today, I'm upwards of over 145 workshops, and I've been fortunate to have ASICS, the footwear company, sponsor me. So Run Safer sponsored. So that's the reason I'm able to travel the country and try to keep people that are active safer.
Oh, that's wonderful that you have a sponsor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's been a real, you know, everybody's interested. I mean, the thing about the Run Safer program as well is, you know, everyone that you talk to, of course, wants to be safer when they're out there, you know, if something goes down. But a lot of people are so time restricted that they can't get to a local self-defense center or to a local gym. But I'm coming right to the customer. So if it's a walking store, if it's a running store, I have the capability of going right to the store where they purchase their running equipment or, you know, their footwear equipment and everything that they need, and I can do the workshops right there on site. And so if they can spend 60 minutes with me, I feel really confident now that they can leave that workshop and be a lot safer and make better choices for their safety so they can keep themselves out of harm's way. And if they ever do get into a situation, I show them what they're capable of if somebody ever puts their hands on them. And they put, you know, that they have to reverse that situation quick so they can find themselves back into a safer place.
Great. So in prevention of being in a bad situation, what are some of the things that you recommend?
If I had to pick, when people ask me that, what the best tips are, and it's not like it's rocket science. So, people know this, but I think what I do is I just reinforce how important it is not to be complacent about your safety. One of the top tips that I'll talk about is power in numbers. Running specialty stores and different groups are great if you can be involved in them. But if you can't because of your schedule doesn't permit it, then I think, anything that you can do to be around people, to start your own groups, to be at a park that's more populated than some vacant trail, I think that's extremely important, because a majority of attacks that happen is when some dangerous person targets you because they know that you're going to be alone, and they know that they're going to have the upper hand in a situation, which they wouldn't be if there's, two, three, four people around you in a certain park instead of being by yourself. As far as other, tips that I give is, going with your gut feeling. If you are finishing up your walk and you happen to be going back into, say, a parking lot or a parking garage, and you just don't feel right about that car that's at the end of that parking, the parking lot, don't feel, go with your gut feeling and go back into the trail where maybe there's a couple more people that were a quarter mile behind, so you can have power in numbers when you go back into your vehicle. Or if you have to park your car at a parking garage, and maybe your car happens to be in the fourth floor, and it's all there, but it's by itself, don't feel bad about going down to the parking garage attendant and say, "Could you walk me to my vehicle? Because somebody's up there, and I just don't feel good about it." Those are the things that I really try to stress on, because it's the people that aren't proactive about their safety. Those are the ones that end up being headlines, and that's what I really try to teach: be proactive on your safety, make smart decisions, and do it daily, and don't get complacent.
Okay. How do you feel about headphones?
That's funny that you mentioned that. That's one of the tips I talk about. Everywhere I go in the country, I could go out for a run, and, you're going to see people. Even in D.C., I was there, and I did a little research, and during one red light, and this is in a populated area, but to me, if you do that behavior in a populated area, it's going to carry over if you're alone. And in one red light, there was 9 out of 14 people that had both buds in and were looking down on their smartphones. And my advice is, have one bud out, cut one bud off, or have it, if you're going to be out there with the music going or with whatever you're listening to, have it down to where you could have a conversation with someone. Because not necessarily only for the attack potential, but also now kids are texting and you could be going across the crosswalk and they're not paying attention and you're being hit because you don't hear something. So I don't say don't listen to music, but I just say be very careful if you are going to have the headphones on.
That's really good advice. When somebody does feel threatened or there is someone who is getting too close to you or touching you, what should you do?
Initially, when I teach, because I have a 17-year-old daughter and a 14-year-old daughter, and I say, if somebody gets in your space and you've recognized them and you've already told them with your hands up and you've gave them the warning to stay away, and they still come in your space, and it's not a surprise attack, it's they're coming after you. You really have to have, that mindset to flip the switch that they're trying to hurt you or abduct you or what I say is take you away from here. So, I'll designate certain targets on the body that you have to, I know this sounds, scary, but you really have to know what targets to go after and to hurt that individual so they can't hurt you, so you can buy yourself space, create space and buy yourself time to get back into a safer environment. So I'll talk about targets on the body on the attacker. I talk about being loud and not being intimidated. If somebody grabs you and they tell you to be quiet and you're coming with me, you're going to do the opposite. You're going to yell. You're going to scream. You're going to bring awareness because, 99.9% of attackers do not want you to give any type of fight back. They want to totally control that situation and keep you quiet. So those are the things that I think are the most important. Make yourself loud. Make yourself, how can I say this? Make yourself really difficult to be a victim. That's at the end of the day, if my daughters were attacked, anybody that does attack them, I want them to walk away going, I should have never even put my hands on that person.
Is there anything that you can describe for things people can do, or does it have to be seen?
No, it doesn't have to be seen. I mean, people, you know, as far as people that attend the workshops, you know, if you are going to use mace, if you are going to put your keys in between your fingers to be prepared if you are by yourself and you don't feel comfortable in a certain area, if you are going to use anything for your own personal protection, make sure that you know that you can use it and make sure you're educated on that product. You know, so I don't discourage anybody that's going to carry mace. I don't discourage anyone that's going to use different things that they can that's going to potentially help them be safer when they're out there, but they need to know that they can use it.
And then even
as far as the self-defense training that I teach and all the different instructors and different martial arts, and I've been fortunate to meet a lot of great professors and instructors around the country, I can tell you what's possible and tell you that you can flip the switch and you can win in a really dangerous situation. But I can also say that you need to practice it just like anything else that individuals do in their life. To get better at anything, you need good instruction and you need to practice.
Okay.
Like I said at the beginning, yes, it's called Run Safer, but, you know, one of the things that I'll touch on during the workshops is every family and every relationship needs to have a safety talk. So, if you're at the dining room table, you know, a lot of times families will have a fire talk, they'll have a hurricane talk, they'll have a different type of talks, but nothing, you know, a majority of families or friendships or groups won't have the discussion that if somebody knocked on your door at 3 p.m, what could you do? Or if somebody opened your car door when you just got in after a great walk and they tried to assault or hurt you, what could you do? So being prepared and you know, even going into the workplace if something happened. So I say having dress rehearsals and talk about, okay, what do I have in my car that I could go to if somebody opened the door? Do I have something that I could use? Do I have mace that I know I could grab? If I was sitting on my couch in my house, do I have 409? Do I have Raid that I could grab real fast and spray into the person's vision? They could buy myself time and potentially help me instead of not doing anything at all.
Okay.
So those are kind of the little tips. I mean, people, it's not anything that's like, wow, that's rocket science. It's just people don't think about it. And then because, you know, it's the whole thing of it, it's never going to happen to me. I think there's a lot of that attitude that goes on. But the more research and the more headlines that we read around the country, it can happen anywhere at any time. So it's better to be prepared than not be prepared at all.
Well, and what kind of things can a woman do if she's, let's say you are out on a trail and someone comes at you, what can you do?
I mean, if somebody comes at you, like I mentioned a few minutes ago, so if you've designated, if that attacker is, and you've seen that attacker coming towards you, you have to know that he's going to try to hurt you. I mean, if he's trying to abduct you or hurt you and your life's on the line, you have to know that you can fight. You have to know that you can frustrate. You have to know that you can make that person go away. And if that takes mace, if that takes a stick to the eye, if that takes dirt into the face, if that takes you yelling as loud as you can possibly yell because there's somebody a half mile away, you have to know that you can do it and not be intimidated. And it's that type of confidence and that type of practice over in your head, because it's hard to really duplicate that situation until it happens to you one time. But you can constantly do the visualization and the dress rehearsals in your head to think, if I walked out of this store right now and I'm walking to my parking lot and somebody grabs me by the wrist, do I know that I can gouge him in the eye? Do I know that I can hit him in the throat? Do I know that I can do this, do this, do this, so I can win and not lose? And that would be the answer to the question. You have to know that you can do something instead of nothing.
Okay. You had mentioned parts of the body that you need to know you can hurt someone, and you just mentioned eyes and throat. So what are the parts of the body that someone should target?
You know, the targets I talk about during the workshops, I mean, and really anything in the body that you can hit, strike, scratch, bite, whatever it is, you go for, because remember, your life's on the line, and that's in a dangerous situation. But I talk about the vision. You know, if you can get anything into the vision, if you can open hand slap to the ear, if you can, you know, strike into the throat area, if you can open hand to the nose, you know, so ears, eyes, nose, throat, and then the groin area. You know, those are the five areas that I talk about a lot. But then I finish up the discussion by saying, and anything else that you can go to so you don't lose.
Okay.
But in saying that, like I said, this Run Safer program isn't one that's, you know, the magic hour or the magic 15-minute, you know, discussion where you're going to be, you know, Bruce Lee or Muhammad Ali after one class. I always stress, find a credible instructor and try to make this something that you make priority either once a month, once a quarter, where you can practice these things and put yourself in situations, no matter how big or small or old or young you are, and know that you have to be able to pull this off if it ever happens in your life.
Okay. And one of the things I remember from attending your clinic is that you mentioned that the leg muscles tend to be the strongest muscles on a woman. So how would you take advantage of that?
It's probably in a situation on the ground when you're kicking, you can create more leverage and the element of surprise. So, you know, if you are on the ground and you can use your leverage, if somebody's happens to be in between your legs trying to choke you or trying to punch you, where you can use your feet and legs into that individual's hips to push away and create space and more time in your safety clock that I always stress about. Because at the end of the day, if you can frustrate and you can buy yourself 10 seconds of time by using your feet and kicking and pushing away, that's 10 seconds that somebody could be driving around a corner or walking up the trail to be at your side. And that's what it's really all about. I mean, the people that don't do anything and just keep their mouth shut and don't do one thing at all, those are the ones that don't have a chance. So it's really not about, you know, the legs being the strongest. It's about utilizing them and know that you can kick, know that you can use your feet into somebody's hips if you're on the ground to push away and drive back and put more time in that clock.
I remember that you often stress giving yourself an opportunity to get away as opposed to staying around for any length of time.
Yeah, I mean, but that question is a good question. I mean, because some people would ask, what if I broke the grip? If somebody grabbed me by the wrist and tried to pull me into their car or tried to pull me into the woods and I broke that grip through a technique, what do I do? You know, some people ask that, but, you know, it should be self-explanatory that you run, like you run and scream and continue to bring awareness to that situation. But yeah, you want to run. You want to be, yeah, you might, you know, if he's going to come after you, then you're going to continue have to fight and fight and fight. But if you can break free from that initial grab, and maybe that alone could be enough to where the individual goes, I don't want to fool with that young lady. And that's really what it is, because I've read some articles recently, it's, you know, where the person fought back and got back into the street, identified the individual, and then, you know, he was caught. But if she wouldn't have done anything, no fighting at all, she would have been in the woods and assaulted and potentially dead. So, yeah, if you get away, you keep getting away further and further as far as you can. As far as other things that you can do to deter a potential attack is having your head up, walking with confidence, having good posture, making eye contact with people. You know, it doesn't sound like much, but it can be a huge benefit. Because if you're walking with your shoulders slumped, you're not looking down, you're paying attention to your smartphone, you're on Facebook, you're easy prey. But if you're walking, looking straight ahead, and some potential attacker looks at you, and you give them the look, like, I've seen you, I'm aware that you're coming, if you are, and maybe it might not even be somebody like that. You don't have to give them a real mean look, but you just want to know, you want them to know that you're aware that they're around. You know, that could be a tip as well.
Okay.
Another tip that I talk about is not being predictable with the routes that you walk, or you run, or you jog. You know, I used to think that was the most, you know, in my life, being predictable was what I needed to do to make it to the Olympic Games. But for the normal, you know, everyday walker, jogger, and runner, if you're doing the same loop at the same time every single day, and it happens to be a loop that there's not much traffic, somebody can target you or stalk you, and then the next thing you know, you're a victim. So try to vary your workout routine, try to vary up your trails, and again, going back to the power of numbers, try to be in some type of park, some type of trail, wherever it is, where there's people around, it's more populated.
Okay. And you said that it doesn't really matter how big you are or how old you are, you can still fight back?
Oh, it doesn't matter at all. I mean, I wouldn't say the whole point of the program, but you have to be able to flip the switch. You know, my daughter, you know, my 14-year-old daughter and my 17-year-old daughter aren't big young ladies. you know, as far as, you know, muscular and strong, and, you know, they're smaller in stature, but I know their mindset is that, you know, Dad has taught me if I'm alone and somebody grabs me and they shouldn't, that I have to fight no matter what. I know that I can use my fingernails. I know that I can use my hands. I know I can use my feet. I know I can use my teeth. Whatever it takes to stay alive, you have to be able to flip the switch and have that mindset. Because the alternative is you're never going back home. And I know that's scary, but I never want to. This program is not about scaring walkers and joggers and runners. It's putting safety to the forefront of their head so they don't become complacent, so they never have to worry about using techniques. You know, it's just being more prepared, and that's all it's about. I mean, I don't want to read any more of these headlines. I love doing the workshops, and I love teaching. I have a huge passion for it, but at the end of the day, maybe my business gets shut down one day because there's no more attacks.
That would be wonderful.
That would be great. I would love to shut the doors of Run Safer, actually.
If someone wants to get more information on your clinics, where should they look?
Run Safer, you can go to runsafer.com. You can go to Run Safer Facebook page. You can go, we're on Twitter. So there's information, but probably for scheduling, runsafer.com and Run Safer Facebook is the best route to go.
Okay. And you said that you're traveling all over the country, and right now you're in the Northeast. Are you
right.
going to be all over the country?
My schedule will be on almost like the Run Safer Tour. Will be on the website and the Facebook page.
Okay.
And as the schedule fills up, then people can see where I'll be. But there'll be quite a few. I mean, I'll probably be upwards of 40 to 50 workshops in 2015.
Okay.
And for those that don't know, most of the workshops are going to be inside their local running specialty account. So, you know, the running stores in their area, most of them will be there. And then I do also work at select universities around the country where I go in and teach to, either freshmen, women athletes, or to the student body of different schools.
Yeah, that's a great market.
Yeah, I mean, there's always going to be freshmen, and there's always going to be, you know, they think that they're kind of invincible at that age, because I know my 17-year-old sometimes thinks that way, even though I've been on her for about 10 years straight now about her safety. So, yeah, that audience, I think, is extremely vulnerable to on campus, you know, to make sure that they make are making the right steps to stay safe.
Is there anything I didn't ask you about that you would like to add?
No, I think, you know, I think I talked about the complacency of it, and really the main point of Run Safer and the reason I created it is I saw that there was a need for runners, joggers, and walkers to be safer due to, all the headlines of the attacks that have happened and that are happening across the country. But it's also not to scare anybody. It's just to help the runner, jogger, and walker be more prepared and have a better experience when they head out the door.
Well, thank you very much. I really enjoyed the clinic when I went to it. In fact, my husband and son have helped me practice the escape moves that you gave, because you did say that you needed to practice. And it was interesting doing it with two different men, because they had different hand strengths and different sizes. And it was, I thought it was really helpful.
And that's the thing too. Even on the grip breaking, if you practice some with your husband and your son, is like people. You know, I've had some people say, "Well, what if you know I'm grabbing it and she's not breaking away?" And I'm like, "Okay, you're grabbing it. You know that you're grabbing it. But what if your wife took her thumb and jammed it through your eyeball right now?" You see what I mean? I mean, that's where they're looking at me like, "Well, what do you mean?" I'm like, "Okay, I tell people my clinics. If the grip doesn't break you, that doesn't mean you give up. You're going to rip their ear off their head." And then, so I'll get some of these guys here at the workshops, and they're like, "Well, that would probably hurt." I'm like, that's the point. That your wife or your girlfriend or your daughter is never going to give up, ever. So just because you practice the grip break, yes, it may work. You know, if you do the technique and if it works, that's awesome. But if it doesn't work for some reason, then she has something else to go to where she's not going to lose.
Right.
I don't want you to act out your husband or I, but I'm just that was just a side story.
But I remember when you had mentioned poking people in the eye, and there were some women who were squeamish about it.
Yeah, oh yeah. Well, I would not just at that workshop. I would say 99.9% of the workshops, I get that face like, you know, like that, oh, I couldn't do that. And I look at every one of them. I'll designate that one person that I see that makes that face and says, you have to believe you can do it if you're never going back to your family again.
That's
you know, and that changes it. That quietens your room up because, yeah, you know, the way I teach sometimes I'll throw some humor in there, but at the end of the day, if you can't get back to your kids, your, you know, your family, then you can do whatever you need to do.
Exactly. Well, thank you very much for taking the time to talk to me today, and I appreciate all the work you are doing to help make runners and walkers safer.
Well, I appreciate it. And if you have anything else, the tips are on the website. You can hit one of the tabs, and all the safety tips, and then some of the comments and endorsements and different things like that from some people that I've worked with this year and last year are on there. So you can navigate through for more information. But if you have any questions at all, you can hit me or email me or text me. And if you forgot something, I'd be glad to help you out.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Okay, I appreciate it.
Walk with me. Would you walk with me? And if you walk with me, I'll walk with you for eternity.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Walk Podcast. I hope you found my conversation with Todd interesting. For more information on Todd and the Run Safer program, including clinic dates, go to www.runsafer.com. You can also follow him on Twitter at RunSaferTodd. If you have any opinion on a shorter episode, please let me know. You can send me an email at cindy@walkmagazine.com or comment on the Facebook page, Walk Newsletter, or even follow me on Twitter at Walk Magazine. The Walk With Me theme song was written by my brother-in-law, Gordon Lehman, and recorded at Real Time Audio in Denton, Texas. The recording engineer was Eric Delgard, and it was produced by Eric Delgard and Gordon Lehman. Vocals by Whitney Wilson, cello by Madeline Hansen, guitar and Fender Rhodes by Gordon Lehman. Thanks, Gordon. I appreciate it. And as I like to end every episode, why run slow when you can walk really fast?
And if you walk with me today, I'll never cause you any pain, I'll never cause you any sorrow. Would you walk with me forever? Would you walk with me tonight? And if you walk with me forever, I promise that I'll never be far from your sight. Walk with me. Would you walk with me? And if you walk with me, I'll walk with you for eternity. Da 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 take you by the hand and lead you to the fountain. Would you walk into my heart? Would you walk into my being? And if you walk into my heart, this will just be the start of the new world you'll be seeing. Walk with me. Would you walk with me? And if you walk with me, I'll walk with you for eternity. To my dreams, when you're there, it seems you make me whole. Would you walk with me today? Would you walk with me tomorrow? And if you walk with me today, I'll never cause you any pain, I'll never cause you any sorrow. Walk with me. Would you walk? I'll walk.